Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters,
keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And on today's show, we're going to be talking about birds. We're also going to be talking about individuals who will be traveling all the way to Gaspé, Quebec, in an attempt to raise funds for the Canadian Cancer Society. But before we get into those conversations, joining me over the phone right now is Jane Stroud, who is a counselor on Wood Buffalo Council representing Ward 4, which overlooks Anzac, Gregoire Lake Estates, Janvier, and Conklin. And Jane, I appreciate you taking a couple minutes, and I know that you are planning to run again in this year's municipal election. So just to start off, why did you want to run again?
Well, I'm looking forward to another term as Ward 4 counselor. It has been an honor to be the council representative for Ward 4 since 2010. I'm committed to being a positive and influential counselor for the communities that I serve, which are Gregoire Lake Estates, Anzac, Janvier, and Conklin. I will continue to listen, raise concerns, and work towards achieving the results that residents of Ward 4 deserve.
Why specifically did you want to run again? I think most people could say, you know, you've been there for 12 years now. You could have had you've had a good political career. Why do you want to try to extend it?
When I became a counselor, there were some initiatives that I wanted to push forward for these communities. One of them is increased high-speed internet. Fiber optic to all the four rural hamlets. Funding was put in the budget of $7.7 million in 2020, and construction is to start next year.
Okay, so is that the provincial budget or the municipal budget?
Municipal.
Okay.
We passed that as a council.
Mm-hmm. So that's definitely some fantastic news. Is it that, you know, there's some unfinished business? Is that the main reason why you kind of want to come back?
Exactly. I want to see the completion of the paved roads in Anzac and Conklin. Janvier and Gregoire Lake Estates have already got the roads paved.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see the rural water and sewer hooked up to all the homes in the four hamlets. The extension of walking paths in Conklin and Anzac, and the progress on the egress roads for Janvier and Anzac. In the last term, the Anzac Fire Hall was completed, and as I said before, the roads were paved in Gregoire Lake Estates and Janvier. We completed the Conklin Multiplex, the playground in Janvier, and the sidewalks in Gregoire Lake Estates. However, in this term, as I mentioned, the projects that I'd like to see completed in this next council term.
Mm-hmm. How comfortable do you think living is in these four rural areas that you've mentioned? When I first moved here, you know, you heard stories saying that maybe you don't want to move into these rural areas, and there are a lot of issues, but it seems like the municipality, the province, I believe there's been some funding for the federal government. Even some oil companies have been providing funds to help with housing, specifically in Janvier and Conklin. Again, you mentioned that the roads are starting to be fully paved in all the communities. We're hoping to have the rural water sewer up and running in the very near future. So do you think that, you know, life has been, or these communities, I guess it's been getting better for them in the last few years?
I believe so. You know, we're getting the essential services that are needed in these rural hamlets. Previously, when I was talking to Nexen, they would not, you know, they didn't want to put their workers in these communities without, you know, proper water and sewer, which you can understand.
Okay, I can definitely understand that for sure. Have you had a chance to speak with any residents in these communities about, you know, running and what you kind of touched on some of the projects you want to see done, but are those also the projects that you've been hearing from residents that they think are the most important right now?
Yes. A lot of these projects, they are, you know, with consultation with residents. This is what they want to see.
All right. Well, Jane, is there anything else you'd like to add? Maybe we didn't have a chance to chat about.
Well, I just want to thank all the residents, the businesses, and community organizations for their support. With this positive interaction, we're moving forward to ensure our communities are safe, sustainable, and healthy. I also wanted to mention that my last two terms on council have been quite challenging with the fire in 2016, mm-hmm. the flood in 2020, and COVID-19 in both 2020 and 21. I want to thank the municipality that even with these challenges, our projects for Gregoire Lake Estates, Anzac, John V, and Conklin continue to move forward.
I think that's definitely an understatement that all the councillors in the last 8 years, especially those who have been on both terms, have had a lot to deal with. So, Jane, mm-hmm. I appreciate you taking a couple minutes. I'm sure this won't be the last talk we have with you during the election period, but best of luck with the election. And like I said, I know you're still a councillor, so you still got a few more meetings for this term, so enjoy those.
Thank you, Jaron, and I hope to see you out on the golf course.
Oh, I'm sure you will. Once again, that was Jane Stroud, who is looking to be elected to her fourth term as Ward 4 councillor on Wood Buffalo Council. If you're looking for any information on any of the candidates, either in Ward 1, 2, 3, or 4, as well as for mayor, all you have to do is head to the Mix News page. We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we're going to be talking about a group of friends who are going to be traveling to Quebec in an attempt to raise funds for the Canadian Cancer Society.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters, brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters, brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, before the break, we had a chance to hear from Jane Stroud, who is the current councillor for Ward 4 on Wood Buffalo Council, and she is planning to run again in this year's municipal election. So if you're looking for any information on Jane or any of the other candidates who have put their name forward for the election, all you have to do is head to the Mix News page. And joining me over the phone now is Annie Liliev. And Annie, we had you back on Friday, as over the weekend you had your memorial ride, Highway 63 memorial ride. And I know over 40 individuals took part in the ride, which was fantastic, as the weather was definitely not that great. And I know starting tomorrow, you and members of the Metal Saints will be traveling cross-country in an attempt to raise funds for the Canadian Cancer Society. So maybe just to start off, where did this idea come from?
Actually, I told the ladies, we have a motorcycle club in town, just all ladies, Metal Saints, and I approached them and told them I needed a couple weeks off to regroup and actually reassess, and sometime mental health and self-assessment, you need that. And the girls said they didn't want me to go down by myself, so they wanted to join. I said, well, let's make a cause for this ride. And that's where Cancer Ride came along. So we thought, because we have so many, I have two of the ladies actually that ride with me have lost their fathers within the last couple of years due to cancer. And we have a lot of girlfriends right now battling cancer. Mm-hmm. So that's where the Cancer Ride came along.
And there are so many different causes, and there are causes that I see happen in town, and I've been lucky enough that I haven't known any friends or families that have had to deal with, you know, set illness, set disease, but I think it's pretty hard to find somebody who doesn't know anyone, whether it be a friend, acquaintance, or a family member who's been impacted by cancer in some way.
That's correct, and that's why I was so dear to us, and like I said, with the ladies, with their fathers being such an important role in their life, we thought, and we will be riding with them. We will be leaving from Boyd Harley-Davidson on Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. I actually asked people to forward me their pictures if they wanted me to put them on their banner, so I will be flying a banner across Canada with the loved ones' pictures. So our girlfriends and people battling cancer right now, we have a little boy, Wesley, in town. He is 3 years old, so we will be riding for him and all the ones battling right now. We're doing this for you guys. We're behind you, and we're going to do this for you.
There's really no words I can say. Just, it's unbelievable that you and your friends are doing this. And obviously, raising awareness is one thing, but I'm assuming, I think you kind of touched on it at the beginning, that you're looking to raise some funds. Is that correct?
That's correct. Like I said, our website, www.metalsaints, you can actually access our website or our Facebook social media, and you will find the link where you can donate right directly to the Cancer Foundation. And like I said earlier, you will receive a receipt. It goes right there, and they will actually let me know how much they've gathered from our ride.
All right. Do you guys have a goal in mind, or is it just one of those every dollar, you know, counts?
Every dollar counts, and that's what we're all about. And I also have, we have from magnets to bandanas and stuff to support the Cancer Foundation also.
Once again, that was Annie Liliev, who, along with members of the Metal Saints, will be traveling from Fort McMurray to Gaspé, Quebec, in an attempt to raise funds for the Canadian Cancer Society. If you're looking for more information, including how to donate, all you have to do is head to the Metal Saints website. We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about birds, specifically how birds are helping study and really understand the recovery of the boreal forest and wildlife since the Horse River wildfire.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, before the break, we had a chance to hear from Annie Liliev, who, among with members of the Metal Saints, will be traveling to Gaspé, Quebec, in an attempt to raise funds for the Canadian Cancer Society. If you're looking for more information, including how to donate, all you have to do is head to the Metal Saints website. Now joining me over the phone is Christine Godwin, who is a co-owner of Owl Moon Environmental. And Christine, we're going to be talking about the bird count and how counting birds is helping understand the recovery of the boreal forest and wildlife in general from the Horse River wildfire. But before we get started, can you just share a little bit more information about your organization?
So I'll give you a little bit of background on myself and Ken. We have our own company here in Fort McMurray, Owl Moon Environmental, and we've been operating a songbird population monitoring program since 2011. And that program involves bird banding, so we put bands on songbirds. And that, as part of the process, we not only identify them to species, but we age them and we sex them, we determine their health condition. And with that information, we can determine a lot about the bird populations and how they're doing throughout the region. The purpose of the program is primarily to understand the impacts of the oil industry on birds. But of course, we've got other things happening in the region, other impacts on habitat. And so we're able to get a pretty broad sense of what's going on with the bird populations in the region.
Okay. What was the bird count like maybe before the wildfires, since that's what we're talking about today? Was it, I guess, a healthy population? I don't know if you have any numbers to kind of share with us.
You know, the numbers are quite variable, and it's really hard to just put a number to these things. I mean, we catch thousands of birds every year, just to give you a sense. But when you normalize that across the stations and across all the effort that goes into it, is that a good number? Is that a bad number? It really depends. But from the perspective of the program that we're operating, it's been good. The birds, they seem to be rather healthy in the region, and the populations have been really abundant across the years. So, yeah, we were quite pleased with the results of the program, and thought that what we were seeing was quite exciting from the standpoint that we thought the birds were doing well.
Okay, and cue the Horse River wildfire, and I think it's safe to say that the bird counts that happened, I don't know if you did one in 2016, but either in 2017 or 2018, is it safe to say that the numbers were quite low compared to the previous years, or am I wrong on this?
When we were allowed back into Fort McMurray after the wildfires, so that was early June 2016, we immediately started to implement our program, not knowing, you know, what access was going to be like, where we could go, what we were going to find. And of the 30-some-odd stations that we operate in the region, we had 5 stations that burned to varying degrees. And we were able to get in and band at 4 of those in 2016, and all 5 on and off throughout the last several years. So we got a good sense of what happened at the burn sites and how those stations are recovering. And immediately after the fire, so right in June 2016, the numbers of birds that were using those habitats, the burn habitats, predictably declined. There were very few around. Didn't mean that we weren't finding birds. We certainly did find birds in those habitats, but not nearly as many as what were there before the fire. In the years since, we've been watching that the vegetation come back, especially in the aspen and the mixed wood stands. The aspen, the growth of the aspen has been very fast, and it's very dense present in some of the mixed wood and aspen forests. Surprisingly so. I never really appreciated how quickly aspen would regenerate. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing the birds come back just as quickly. So within about 3-4 years, we started to see the same numbers of birds that we were catching before the fire. And that was in the aspen and mixedwood stands. In the coniferous forest, these regenerate much, much more slowly. And we're not seeing the recovery there nearly as quickly. So that the coniferous stands are going to take a lot longer before they're fully regenerated again.
Okay, so I'm not familiar, with that. I would say it's a term, but for our listeners who maybe aren't as knowledgeable in this as you, can you just kind of share a little bit more about maybe that section? And like, I know about the aspen section. I'm assuming that's a big part of the boreal forest. How big of a part is this other section of the boreal forest?
Of course, the coniferous forests are actually more abundant than your aspen forest. So the coniferous would be your black spruce, your white spruce, your bog, some of the pine stands, so all of your evergreen trees. And because they're very slow-growing trees, it takes a very long time for them to regenerate. And the birds are not going to come back to those habitats nearly as quickly.
Okay, so I guess that's somewhat predictable, but were you surprised how fast the birds had come back when we're talking about, you know, our aspen trees?
We were. We were expecting certain birds to come back to the burned forest. So sparrows, for example, they are early successional species. They prefer the younger forest, the younger habitats. And as expected, we did see a lot more sparrows. Whereas before the fire in those habitats, we were catching more warblers. But over the years, as the vegetation has been regenerating, we are starting to see more and more warblers return to these habitats. And the numbers of sparrows are starting to drop off a little bit because they continue to look for the new, the early successional habitats. And so to see the warblers come back in the numbers that we are seeing them is really interesting.
I'm curious, when talking about other species, were there some that you saw before the fire that haven't returned?
Interesting question. Actually, the numbers of species and the species that we see across the region haven't really changed that much. The species tend to move around a lot, yeah. And so depending on the condition of the habitat, you might find some species in one habitat patch, while other species will occupy different habitat patches. But in the burn forests, what we were finding, especially with birds that were returning, we did have some birds that were banded before the fire. And then when we went back in after the fire in the years since, we're recatching some of those same birds. So they are returning to the forests that they were breeding in before the fire. And this includes birds like flycatchers. So we have alder flycatchers and least flycatchers in the region. Thrushes, those include robins and Swainson's thrushes, your black-capped chickadees, red-eyed vireos, a number of warbler species are very common as well. And they're beautiful birds, so morning warblers, yellow warblers. And of the sparrows, we've got a number of sparrow species that prefer older forests as well, and they are just abundant everywhere. So your white-throated sparrows, people, if you ever listen to the call of a white-throated sparrow, you'll hear them everywhere. And they're returning quite rapidly to these burned forests as well. And then we're starting to see some of those, the sparrows that prefer the earlier successional habitats, so the clay-colored sparrows, the Lincoln sparrows, those are the ones we would expect to see right after the fire. Those birds are starting to, the abundance of those birds is starting to drop a little bit in the burned forest now.
Once again, that was Christine Godwin, co-owner of Owl Moon Environmental, talking about how counting birds is helping understand the recovery of the boreal forest and wildlife since the Horse River wildfire. If you're looking for more information, all you have to do is head to the Mix News page. Now that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at Mix1037FM.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.